Okay. So we begin from Parak Sheni in Yerushalmi Shvius, Mishnah Aleph. It Masai Harshin Se Eleven Shvius. The Mishnah says, how long can one plow a white field? In our context, for our purposes, which means a field that does not have trees but has either beans or grain that you plant in the field on the year before Shvius. Mishitichla Alecha, from the time that the moisture ends, calls man shnei adam chorshin lita miksha'os umidla'os. As long as a person will plow in order to plant these things called miksha'os umidla'os, just to note, it's translated in the article as melons and gourds. I always thought kishuin were cucumbers and gourds. To note, the Rambam explains that miksha'os and umidla'os are fields with kishuim and diluim, whereas others suggest, I think it's a Rashi and Sachim, that miksha'os and umidla'os refer to the plants upon which the kishuim and the diluim grow. So as long as people are plowing in order to plant those types of plants, you get to plow a seha lavan. And then Amr Shimon asat toras kalecha ve'echa bi'ada. What do you mean, says Rosh Shimon? You've now given every person their own Torah. They can do what they want. Rather, for a white field, you get till Pesach. And as we said, for a field of trees, you get till Atzeres. Okay. A few points to make on this, some of which will be reflected again in the Gemara in a few minutes, but they're just worth noting. So the first question to ask is just to sort of pin down, what is the difference between a stay Lavan and stay Elon? Why is it that you get longer for a stay Elon? You don't get as long for a stay Lavan. Why don't we say even for a stay Elon? Once Mishitechla Halecha, you no longer can plow. So the Bar Tanura essentially says as follows. The point is there's a difference in the purpose of plowing. Why do we plow? So when you're dealing with planting a field where you're going to plant either wheat or other produce in the ground, not a tree. So the purpose of plowing is for seeding. You plow the land so that you can later cultivate the ground and plant it, right? That's the purpose of the plowing. In order to plant, you need a certain minimum amount of moisture in the ground. If you don't have that moisture, there's really no purpose in plowing at all. Therefore, for stay halavan, once there's that moisture is no longer there, you no longer have the right to plow, because someone who looks at you and even if, you know, and says, oh, like, why are you plowing? They're going to think that you're not plowing to plant in shishis because it's too late for that. There's no more moisture. Rather, you're plowing to plant during shvius, and that's a problem during Tosefes Shvius. However, when it comes to planting trees, so when you plow, you're not only plowing, you're not plowing to plant, the tree's already planted, as the Yerushalmi is going to say. You're plowing either because that way the rain will descend further into the ground and it will help the roots. Also, it generally helps the roots. So that doesn't require as much moisture, and therefore you have till later in the year. Okay? So that's generally the purpose. That's the distinction between stay lavan and stay ilan. But that's a chumrah, right? Meaning what I just said is a chumrah for stay lavan. Stay ilan you get till later in the year. However, there's also a kula. Notice how there's an interesting shear here in terms of how long you get to do this. It says two things, right? What does it say? Number one, mishatichla halecha, when the moisture ends, which is kolzman shebnei adam chorshin litam maksha o madlo, right? Specifically, as long as people are planting these types of plants, right? Gourds, melons, cucumbers, whatever you like. What if I don't have those? What if I don't have melons or gourds? What if I have a field that's bore, that's sort of not planted at all? It's fallow right now. What if I'm planting wheat? How long do I get? What do you think?
I think it would be the same time.
Correct. So it seems from the Mishnah that, again, that that is the same time, meaning it's not that you only get this if you're planting Mishos Milos. You get to plant Misha until Misha Techa Alecha calls man that there are Makshot and Madlo. But even if you didn't have those, you'd still be able to plant that long. Why? And so the Chazanish talks about this in, if you look, I think it's Yad Zion actually, in Chazanish and Shvius, that while for state Elon, there is a high standard of requirements, right? Not all fields of trees are created equal. We've talked about how you need a certain amount of trees, which have a certain density and would produce a certain amount of fruits and all that, which we spoke about in the previous parak. You don't have that for a state Laban. It doesn't seem that there are any requirements other than the fact that it's a state Laban, right? You get till Pesach, no matter what. And he's the Chazanish says himself that this is talking about a state more. There aren't any plants, there's no grain in this field yet at all. And yet, because if someone sees you planting, they're going to assume that you're doing it for makshos and melos, right? There's no, you don't have an appearance problem. So therefore, you get until Pesach, regardless of if you're planting anything. The Chazanish says a number of times, actually, that the truth is, if Bethoel, you were plowing to plant fruits during Shishis, right? If it was actually for, or specifically actually, if you had Peros Shishis and you were doing your plowing for the Peros Shishis that already are there, then that would be okay until Rosh Hashanah itself. If you actually had produce in a state Lavan, usually you don't. So that's why you get until Pesach, right? Because as we said, it's not practical.
How can you say that, though, if from what I've seen, the Mefarshim are saying that it's Michzei Kimitakin Letzorech Shviit, meaning when
the well, I don't think it would be. If you had Peros, I think the reason for that is because you usually don't, right? The point is that people don't plant fruits and grain after Pesach. But if you would or were for some reason, it wouldn't look that way.
Low plug, meaning for the case there where you might have it, but it still looks to a person looking from the outside that you're doing it letzorech shvit.
I'm not sure it would look that way. You could say low plug, but I don't know if you have to. Why should it look that way? It looks that way when there's nothing there. Because then what else are you doing? Normal people don't plant at this point of the year. You must be planning for the next year. But if you actually were doing it for a pair of shishas that existed already, then that might be different. That's what we suggest here. The point is, it's a fundamentally different notion in terms of the heter for a state lavan. It's not dependent upon any particular plants. It's even if there are no plants. You could still plow until Pesach, okay? So the Rosh expands on this just on the Mishnah. He says there's a kula and a chumra here, okay? The kula is that you can plant even if you don't have those plants. The chumra is if you don't have plants yet, even if you do it l'shem shishis, it's forbidden if it will be assumed you're doing it for shvius. I'll try this first, the Chazanish, but because it's about appearance, like you said, then there might be a chumra also. Okay. So just also just worth noting, there's a bit of a discussion here among the Rishonim, like the Gra and others, in terms of what type of plowing we're talking about in the state of Avon. Are we talking about plowing that's being done before you've planted, or are we talking about plowing that's going on after you've already planted and the fruits have already and the produce already grown? That's a bit of an issue in the Mefarshim here. Take a look at the Gra and the Chazanish and others. Okay. Moving on now. So one second. I think I went a little. Yeah. Okay. Good. So now we look at the Gemara. The Gemara, I think, here is pretty straightforward. I am a Sarchorshin Matan Aleich or Mary. Okay. So that's her mayor. Mayor is just Tanakama. So we assume the Tanakama Risha is her mayor. So now the Gemara tries to figure out the Machlokas of her mayor and Rishimon. Now, as you may remember, in the first Mishnah in Shvius, there's another Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about how long you have for a state Elon. And Beis Shammai says that it sort of depends how long for however long it takes, that it's Yafel Pri. Whereas Beis Hillel says, no, it's you get until Pesach, or sorry, until Atzeres. He gives a set time. So we have a similar notion in our Mishnah where, as opposed to Rav Shimon, who gives a set time, Pesach Atzeres, don't give people the freedom to mess up, essentially. Rav Meir says, no, it's as long as people are planting the makshos and medlos. So the Gemara says, well, maybe they're the same. Rav Meir ke Beis Shammai, Rav Shimon ke Beis Hillel. Right? Rav Meir holds like Beis Shammai, who doesn't give a set time, and Rav Shimon holds like Beis Hillel, who does give a set time. So then Gemara asks, "V'china sino masnisa Rav Meir ke Beis Shammai, Rav Shimon ke Beis Hillel?" Does that really make sense to suggest that Rav Meir is like Beis Shammai and Rav Shimon is like Beis Hillel? So I guess here the question is, would Rav Meir really just like paskin like Beis Shammai? We don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So that can't be. You don't assume that unless we can prove it. And also, you don't necessarily need to equate Stei Lavan and Stei Ilan. Stei Lavan and Stei Ilan are two different things. So why should we assume without proof that Rav Meir holds like Beis Shammai, who is slowly but Hilchos Hasaf? That is the Akasha. So the Gemara says, Ala Rav Meir Kamishna Rishona, Rishona Kamishna Achrona. This is a very challenging assertion why this is a good Havamino and it's rejected. But just to sort of understand it, Rav Meir says, who says that there is no set time holds, like Mishnah Rishona. Before Begamliel came and, you know, said this is all Shalom Ali B'Hilchasan, you could do whatever you want until Rosh Hashanah, at least plowing, right? You can plow until Rosh Hashanah. So that's Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that before he did that, when there was still a problem. And Rav Shimon says that it's Kamishna Achrona. After Begamliel kind of came and said, you can plow, because we can't do this, and, you know, this was a special halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai / takana, which was made with the possibility of being broken at a later date. So so that's Rav Meir, that's Rav Shimon. Now, the obvious problem with this is that, what does Rav Shimon say? You have until Pesach and Atzeres. But how does that work with Mishnah Achrona? That's the opposite of Mishnah Achrona. Mishnah Achrona says you get into Rosh Hashanah.
He's cholik on the Mishnah Achrona, meaning
he's cholik. Okay, but what does that help then? What's the point of saying Rav Shimon's Kamishna Achrona?
Well, maybe it helps with the status of what of how we treat this whole thing. If we treat it like the Mishnah Rishona, or we treat it after the Takana, when Rabban Gamliel said, you know, we can be more lenient with different things, and I think it's until Rosh Hashanah, and then Rabbi Shimon comes and says, no, Atzeret Pesach. Depending on what type of field.
Interesting. So the question is, like, where do you get that? Like, why? Like, why was Rav Meir?
Well, the Gemara said it.
I'm saying, why do you think Rav Meir think? Why does the Gemara think Rav Meir is Mishnah Rishona and Rav Shimon thinks Mishnah Achrona? Like, why?
I do not presume to know what the Gemara.
Where in the world did that come from? So Rav Mara Fulda says that it's because of the precision. Again, it's not exact, but it's because of the precision. Meaning, if you think like Mishnah Rishona, which sort of assumes that there's a real problem, you know, at first we thought when we began the Perek of the Oraisa, maybe it's not the Oraisa, I don't know, but that before Beit Gamliel comes, there's a real problem with plowing. So then how can you just sort of give an approximate shear, which will sometimes lead to being a kula, right? Meaning, like, if the point is that you only get kozman and shetichla halechus, what if the lachus is gone before Pesach, and then you allow people to even plow afterwards until Pesach? That's a kula. Well, how can you do that? That's wrong. There's a real problem here. So therefore, that's why Rav Meir has to give it an exact shear. No, it's misha. You know, ach techla halechas, minasada. Whereas Rav Shimon gives a more general shear, you know, time period, because he thinks it's just the takana derabanan anyway. Now, what that takana derabanan was, so then that's a sort of dispute, but that's how he explains this line. Again, it's not very compelling, because again,
Rabbi Meir is also very general, though, because it's natata torah kol echad v'echad beyado.
So it's general in the sense that it will be different for different people, but for each person, they can pick their exact time. Right? meaning I have the right to decide when it's mishtech aleichos, and once at that time I won't plow. Now, I may make a mistake. That's on me. But the shear is exact. Still, just depends on the person. It's subjective, or at least we're relying on people's subjective opinions to determine the objective shear. Anyway, so that. But the guy is like, well, what are you talking about? V'chein asina masnisa Rav Meir k'mishir achshon Rav Shimon k'mishna achrona. That also doesn't really work. Hello, Rav Shimon says you get from Pesach until Atzeres. That's the opposite of Mishnah Achrona. What in the world are you talking about? That's not the pshat. El Rav Meir shanya machlokas Rav Shimon shanya k'divrei akol. So it's not that Rav Meir held like Beis Shammai, but rather Rav Meir extends the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel from the realm of stay Elon to the realm of stay Lavan. He thinks they also argue about stay Lavan, and now this isn't a problem because it's troublesome for a mayor to hold like Beis Shammai. It's less troublesome for a mayor to simply say that there's machlokas here also. So that's what a mayor is saying. And Rav Shimon Chang Divrei Akol, Rav Shimon says no. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel don't argue about stay Lavan. They agree that you get until Pesach in that regard. Havi Mantana Imus a question say Lavan Eretz Shvius Remeir Baran Kerushimon Devar Kol Adat Sarah. So who's the one who says that Imus a question say Lavan Eretz Shvius? Remeir is the one that says that. That's the beginning of the Mishnah where he says that you know it's Machlokas and Beis Shammai here would also say Mishet Techla Lechos Masadeh. And then Rav Shimon says no. Everybody agrees. And then you have the word Adat Sarah here, which is a difficult girsa because it should be Ad Pesach. So either you switch it, or the Pnei Moshe says here, if you have the Arat Zeres, you could say that, let's read it here. The Kamar, Rumir, Vishan, Machlokas, Masnis, Nereish, Machil, to Beset Yilan, Kamosha, Vishnu, Tadok, Atali, Nam, Medina, Selam, Bethayo, Shilak, Vishan, the King, Tan, Kam, Tak, Rumir, he have our Shimon, Losham, Mahas, Yidresh, Machil, and Bethayo, the Rak, Kol, Beset Yilan, Arat Zeres. It's talking about State Yilan, basically. I guess the Pnei Moshe is saying if you have the words Arat Zeres, Rav Shimon is saying everybody agrees. There's no machlokas at all. Rav Shimon argues in the first Mishnah even and thinks that even in case of Seyilim, they don't have an argument. That would be a bit more radical. But fine. That's pretty straightforward. The conclusion is that, you know, Rav Meir thinks it's machlokas, Rav Shimon doesn't. Fine. Moving on in the Yerushalmi. And now the Rosh Hashanah essentially explicates the points I made earlier in terms of the differences between say Elon and say Lavan. So first, lo softa bar b'sheyesho mikshe amudla, right? It's not that you need to have a maksho as a madlo. It's in order to get into Pesach. Ela afilu me'achar shemnei adam asirin litam b'ksho as a madlo as mutter. As long as other people would, at this point, still plant these melons and gourds, you still have the right to plow your field. Because again, people looking at you and seeing you plowing won't have any questions. They'll say, okay, he's plowing to plant some mikshas medlos. That's kind of interesting. It might even be that even if you are not doing it for shishis, even it sounds like even if you're sort of doing it for shvius, even if you're doing it for svichin, right? Even if that's what you're doing, still it's okay because there won't be a perception problem. And it's still just Tosefta Shvius, which is interesting. Okay, so that's the first point in this Gemara. Moving on, Amar Shimon Asad Vrecha Kolak Torahs Kolecha Vrecha Biyado Zelmer Kolecha Shali Zelmer Lo Kolecha Shali. Everybody's gonna argue. You know, the Lecha is there, not there. So just give one share. El Bastei Alav and Ara Beis Av Stei Lanat. So that's Ma Bein Stei Alav and Stei Alav. So what's the difference between Stei Alav and Stei Alav? Stei Alav and Ayadeshu Who Asa Lazara Lechach Kichila Since. In a white field, a field of grain, you are going to plant it for the first time. And the purpose of the plowing is so that you can plant. And planting requires more moisture. There needs to be extant moisture. Since it's already planted and the purpose of the plowing isn't to plant the tree for the first time, but rather to help the roots grow appropriately and to allow the rain to get there. Therefore, you don't need as much moisture. Okay, that is Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah Beis. So just to point out something that is clear, but it's just really important to keep in mind. Until now, we've been dealing with Harisha, right? We've been dealing with the topic of Tosefes Shviyis, but we've specifically been dealing with the problem of Harisha during Tosefes Shviyis. Plowing. Plowing, for whatever reason, has a unique status in Shviyis, and therefore it is more, it's more strict, and therefore you have less time to do it. You can only do it until Pesach and Terel Tzeres, as we've spoken about at length. Now we get to other avodos shebesada, other things that you do in the field and their status on Tosefes Shviyis, which brings about the question, you know, what about their status on Shviyis itself, right? The implication from the Mishnah, the Mishnayot that we're reading, and we're going to read, are that you only get until Rosh Hashanah, but you don't get past Rosh Hashanah. So the question is going to be what the relationship is between Shviyis itself and these avodos that are mutter until Rosh Hashanah before Shviyis. So in that vein, the Rosh Mishnah has a general introduction. I guess I'll just read it. So he says as follows. Okay. Ma'adrin. So first of all, I'll just read the first line for a second. It says, Mezavin and Ma'adrin Makshos and Madlos, Ad Rosh Hashanah v'chim beis ha-shlachim. So when we talk about these Gordon melon fields or plants, you get to lay out fertilizer and do Idor, which is a type of plowing that has to be different than Harisha, which is what he's going to get to, because we talked about Harisha already. So what's Idor? Number one, you know, that's the first part of it. And the second part of it is that it can't be the same thing as plowing. We'll just leave it there. Well, okay, fine. So what is Idor? That's a question. And then, you had to lay out fertilizer until Rosh Hashanah. So here the Rosh says, number one, Me'ajim, Meloshim b'chol arim asher b'meder ya'edron, in the chafira kli barzel shechofer bidei adam ke'en choresh. Instead of taking it, right, it's a type of digging with an iron utensil that people use to dig, like plowing with animals. And he says, v'huad in the harshin, actually. The same applies to plowing, as we'll see in the Rishami. Avagad de harisha de araisi ki v'hayelo lo'osha b'sevesh shviyesh, Shari lahacha v'afilu b'zman beis mikdash kevan sha'otza tzora perushishis. Right? So it's interesting. He's saying that even though harisha should have been a problem because it's deoraisa, even during Tosefes Shviyis, they allow it. It was allowed here because you're doing it for perushishis. And it's not categorized, right? For specifically makshos and madlo'os, specifically, you even get to do harisha until Rosh Hashanah. But then, and also for Beis HaShalchim, which requires more work since it's not satiated with rainwater. Then he says, V'yishkame chaluke medavar. T'chol malacha afilu diaraisa kegon harisha she'osa letzor peris jishis, mutaros afilu b'stevish v'yis kipershina. As we have said, anything that you do, even harisha, so group category one within Tosefes Shviyis with these other malachos is, anything that you do for the sake of Perosh Shishis is mutter, even if it's during Shviyis Adioraisa. If it's for Perosh Shishis, it's okay to do. That's one. Two, the Harisha She'ena Tzorech Peros, Ela Af Tzorech Ilam Atmo, Afinu L'Tnei Tosefes Shviyis Asura. If you have Harisha, which is not for the Peros, but rather for the tree itself, and the tree itself lasts until after Shviyis, obviously, so then that's a problem even before the 30-day period of the seven Shviyis, even from Pesach and Atzeres. Okay, so category one was Harisha or anything for the peros of Shishis themselves, then you're good until Rosh Hashanah. Then you're good. Even if it would be Doraisa on Shviyis. If it's Harisha for the tree, then it's a problem from, as we've seen, Pesach and from Atzeres. He says, Lita ilan b'chila b'tosefes shviyis asur kon l'chein mutter. To plant a tree for the first time is mutter until 30 days before shviyis. And then the category which relates to our Mishnah. All these malachos, these mishnayos, which are permissible until Rosh Hashanah, even though some of them are not for shishis, some of these malachos might be for shvius. Lo gazer b'tosefesh mishom da filu b'shvius atzma lo asurin midioraisa. They're mutter because even on Shvius themselves, they're only derabbanan. So the point he's making is all of these things are Mishnah, and you can look at Moed Katzon, and there also a lot of them are there as well. All of these things in our Mishnah are Isurim derabbanan during Shvius. The reason for that is because the Gemara in Moed Katzon says, according to at least one opinion, which we'll note in a second, that only deoraisa isurim on shvius are the ones mentioned explicitly in the Torahs. Mira, Zriya, Betzira, and Ketzira. All the other toldos are derabanan. Since the toldos are derabanan, during Tosefta shvius, they're mutter. And that doesn't depend on whether or not they're being done for shishis. Even if they're being done for shvius, they're mutter because they're lo gazer rabanan. And that's we say kedemi reshma katzon to avos of aser rahmana todos lo aser rahmana ba few bishvius atzva b'makom seda from the hashkas with the shlochin mashkas and the shari mishum the todos bishvius avderaisa. And he says if you look in moed katzon for the derabanans, even on shvius they're mutter themselves b'makom seda. Okay, now there is a problem with our mishnah which this is as follows. There are two opinions in that gemara. And there is an opinion at Gemara, which says that toldos are usher. Now, the way the Rosh explains the Mishnah...
Wait, toldos are usher when?
Deoraisa, during Shvius.
Okay.
So the way that the Rosh explains the Mishnah, then that only works with the opinion that says toldos are derabanan. But toldos are deoraisa, then we have a problem. This is the Chaz Nishas question. So he tries to look there. He tries to work out how you can try to learn the Mishnah even according to that opinion. But I think, so essentially what he's suggesting is that these types of malachos should be either derabanan or clearly letzora shishis. Like that, those are your two ways they'll be mutter until Rosh Hashanah. Either letzora per shishis is good or derabanan. If we find something that isn't one of those, then we get into a bit of trouble. And we'll get hopefully to a bit to that a little bit later also. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. Now we have to figure out what all these things are. Also, just to note, in the art scroll here that I had, they put Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Gimel together. I know that Chaim Zrushalmi wasn't that way. I'm just going to read them both together, and we'll take it from there. So, Mazav v'ma'ajmak shalos melos harash shana. Good. Miyavlin. So the next few verbs all have to do with removing some sort of excess growth from the trees in order to, now here's the important, in order to not mitigate plant growth. Another rule, important rule in the Gemara, in the Moed Katan, is, even this is even on Shvius itself, that these derabanans are going to be mutter la le okume ilana, and aser lavruye ilano, that these things are only permissible because they're not there to stimulate plant growth. They're there to prevent something which is mitigating, preventing plant growth. So all of these things here have to do with removing things from the tree that prevent plant growth. So miyavlin needs to remove some sort of a wart from the tree. Mefarkim, I think, means to remove the excess leaves from the tree. Ma'avkin is a bit of a tricky one. So one explanation is ma'avkin means to cover the roots with dust so that they're not exposed. Some say if there's a crack in the tree, then you put this avak in order to sort of seal that crack. Again, both of those are. Right. Well, it's a bit unclear as a chebek, avak, what materials you're using there. It doesn't need to be dust, but you're using something, you're doing something to seal the crack in the tree or keep it together. Again, it's preventing the tree from decaying. It's not to stimulate plant growth. So that you can do over the Rosh Hashanah. Ashana Rosh Hashanah. What is Ashan? The Ashan thing. So this gets a little bit complicated. I mean, the Gemara will talk about these. But so most Rishonim say that Ma'ashnin means that you smoke or something like that, burn something and create smoke near the roots of the tree so that it kills the insects that are eating at the roots and causing decay. The thing with that is that that should be mutter on Rosh Hashanah itself also. Past Rosh Hashanah, on Shavuos itself. Not Rosh Hashanah itself. We don't. On that Ochel Nefesh. So don't do it on Rosh Hashanah itself. But I'll pass Rosh Hashanah on Shavuos. So apparently there are those that suggest, I saw a quote, that maybe it doesn't just mean that. Maybe in some way this even helps the tree, and therefore it's even mutter. It's mutter before Rosh Hashanah, but not afterward. Okay. Rishon Omer Af No Tehu Vasa Alam Na Eshkol B'Shavuos. So we'll get to this in the Gemara. Shimon seems like he's arguing and saying, this might relate to the Mefarkim point, but Shimon says you can even remove the Aleph from the Eshkol, the extra leaf from the cluster on Shavuos itself. Then we say Mesaklin Rosh Hashanah, you can remove stones from the field into Rosh Hashanah, Mekarsimin, Mezardin, and Mefasin Rosh Hashanah. From what I understand, Mekarsim means to remove dry branches from the tree. Mezardin means to remove wet branches from the tree. Mefasin means to remove waste from the tree. All these things are mutter to Rosh Hashanah. Again, Ostra during Shavuos itself, though, which is interesting. Meshua Omer Kaziru Pesulo Kashmiash Kain Shal Shishis. Then we have this sort of cryptic line review of Yeshua who says that you could do the same during Chamishis and Shishis, which we'll have to explain. Rishimon Omer. Okay, we'll get to these, sort out these opinions of the Gemara about what to do with Pisol and Sikol, Misaklin. Another just Ha'ara, there is about Zevel or Mizavlin. What's the story with Mizavlin? Now, first, the point being that from our Mishnah, it sounds like Mizavlin is only for Makshos and Madlos. Like laying out fertilizer is actually more problematic than these other examples of malacha. You could only do this for makshos and madlos. It's like comparable to plowing. So if you had another plant, right? This isn't like we said before with a stay lavan. Now we're talking specifically about the existence of makshos and madlos. And for that, zivul, or laying out fertilizer, is only permissible if you have that type of plant. You have another type of plant, you're not allowed to do that. However, the Rambam indicates in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he says that Mizavlin talks about Hanachas Domen Beginos, which sounds like he's saying generally you're allowed to do fertilizer into Rosh Hashanah. So the Chazon Ish, based on what he says in the Yad HaChazaka, suggests that the Rambam doesn't really mean it. What he really means is that you get into Rosh Hashanah. He's just explaining what the word means when he says that you're maniach domen begina. It's not to say that you can actually do it in all gardens. It's just translating the word mezavlin. So be that as it may, you could take that for what it's worth. Sorry, yeah.
Does this apply to Idor as well? In the Mishnah, it's mezavlin and ma'adrin.
That for sure. But no one denies that. So you could say the Rambam thought that only Me'adrin is I think the Tosfos Yontif says this, that the Madlos and Makshos, that's only for Idor. Because that is like really like plowing almost. And that is only permissible until for these types of plants. Whereas Mizavlin is permissible for all plants. But the Chazon says that's crazy, and other Mefarshim say no, you can't do that until Rosh Hashanah unless it's the Makshos Mandlos. So that's just a Ha'ara about Mizavlin. Now the Gemara says, Mizavlin u'ma'adrin Makshos. Mahu lachar shlehem. What about plowing itself? Not just Idor. For Makshos and Madlos. So Amar of Shim, so sorry, that's the art scroll playing tricks on me. Tani kolzman sham mutar lachrosh at mutar lezava ola ader im ein am mutar lachrosh ein am mutar lezava ola ader. It says in the Mishnah, as long as you can plow, you can do lay out the dung and do this other type of plowing. If you can't plow, you can't do Idor or and it's also Lazavel. So if in the Mishnah we're saying that you can do Zivulun Idor, it also means you can plow. Because if you can't plow, you can't do Zivulun Idor either. So you even get to plow until Rosh Hashanah, right? And that's obviously a chiddush. And the reason is because, and this actually makes sense based on what we said before, that here you're doing it for the Peros Shishis itself. That's what Mefarshim say here. So since you're doing it for Peros Shishis, then you actually get as long as you need. Then the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yosef, Masis Amar Kain, we even get this from our Mishnah. It says, "Kein mezav ma'ad makshayos madlozer Rosh Hashanah v'chein beis hashlachin." We compare our Mishnah beis hashlachin and makshayos and madlaos in that you get until Rosh Hashanah. But Tani Allah chorshin beis hashlachin on Rosh Hashanah. We have a Tosefta, I think, which says that you can even plow until Rosh Hashanah for a beis hashlachin. And if you can plow on shlachin until a Rosh Hashanah, you can also plow makshayos and madlaos because we equate them. That so we conclude that you're allowed to do this. Okay. Rabbi Omer ad lifne Rosh Hashanah shlosh yomim, v'yishe yizra v'yashresh v'yita v'yashresh. So Rabbi says, no, you only have until 3 days before Rosh Hashanah so that you can plant and it will take seed and it will take root, or plant and it will, a tree and it will take root. So Gemara says, what do you mean? That's k'deshi, v'ilu osa shrashon shlosh yomim. Does any plant really may take root in 3 days? No, can't be. Rather, Rabbi Omer, on within Rosh Hashanah Shlosha Chadashim, Kadesh Yizra Orez V'Yashashita Orez Yashra. So now the Gemara essentially says that this is a specific, Rabbi is a specific chumra for rice. Rice specifically. Rice requires more time. Chaim can fill us in on the process of cultivating rice and all that that entails. But from what I understand, first you have to plant the rice in an irrigated field. You plant the rice seeds, and then apparently you take those seedlings and then replant them. This, that accurate? More or less, something, yeah. More or less. So this is a longer process than simply planting a normal fruit or vegetable, and therefore it requires more time. Therefore, Rebbe requires even 3 months. And you need more water. You need more water. Steady water levels, you know. I guess go down to South Carolina. See what they do there. I ain't show them. Okay. Yeah, I only know about rice from like elementary school when we learned about slavery and like the rice crop and all that stuff. So I ain't show them, I guess. Anyways, moving on. Miyavlin. So then the Gemara just tells us what all these things mean. Miyavlin, ma'virnas ha'yibolas. What's yibolas? Some sort of strange growth in a tree that inhibits...
It's a blister in modern Hebrew.
Yeah, I get that. But like trees have blisters? Whatever. Okay. Fine. But mefarkin ba'alin. Mefarkin means you unload the leaves. Ma'afkin. Osin la'avak. As we said, what does that mean? Some say cover the roots. If you look at, I believe it was the... Was it the Marash Cirillo? Or no? One second. Probably doesn't have it here. Okay. I think it's what we said, that others say it means you seal a crack. That's the avak here. It doesn't mean dust. It means something that seals or glues something together. It's almost like glue, like we have, like deva. Anyway. Ma'ashne masninanla. It's exactly as you would have thought. You smoke, and I want to make the buggers die. Tony, machavnin mitzadadin. Mechavlin la. So one, mechavlin la means, I think that you sort of direct the branches. I think this means, now we're talking about you put some sort of beams under the branches of the tree to direct their growth so that they don't, I guess, interfere with each other and they grow out properly. Mitzadin chavraya amri asid la dikrin. You make this, again, sort of plank that you put under the branch so that it grows the right way. Yossi Omer Tolala Aven. No, you're weighing down the branch so it doesn't grow too far upward by hanging a stone on it. Okay. Tani. Mevatrin Umishantin. So we also add this Mevatrin Umishantin. What do these things mean? Kanim Asnisa Mevatrin Bakfanim Umishantin Bakanim. So Mevatrin seems to come from the word like Yaser or Lehivater, she's batru, like it means that additional. You get to put these sticks. You put these things there so that the grapes can grow well, which is interesting. I'm not sure why. I think this might actually be not just preventing the tree from decaying, but this seems like it stimulates plant growth itself. That's what it seems to me. So I think this is one of the exceptions. But we'll see. One second. So then we say, then we have this strange statement. So makum shenohagu levatu shamei kor machag mevadrin mishamten kor machag laacharachag mevadrin mishamten laacharachag. Rav Shimon Omer levad min habika olamala. Rav Yoshio, Okay, a lot of, so again, it's hard to know exactly what you're doing here, but this is a bit of a cryptic statement. So it says, if the custom is to only do this until Sukkot, then only do it until Sukkot. Otherwise, you can do it afterward. What Sukkot is this talking about? So it seems, I thought at first glance, this referred to the Sukkot of Shishis, that what we're talking about is a stricter deadline, that because for whatever reason, they restricted this even further before Shvius. However, if you look at the Pnei Moshe, he says it's talking about Shoshana Shminis. It's actually talking about doing it after Shvius. That some people would wait until after Sukkot, after in Shminis, to do these types of things. Okay. And then Rav Shimon says it's only from the Bika Alamala. What does that mean? It's sort of the place on the branch where the tree where the branches emanate from. That spot on the tree is where you can remove and withdraw these things, reeds and grapevines, right? That's where you can do it at that point. Again, it's hard to know exactly what some of these things are. It's a lot of removing extraneous objects from the tree. That's the kvutzin. That means things that you would take along with the extra branches and vines. You could take other stuff too. Good. Okay, now we get to something interesting. So the Gemara asks, "Machafet shitzit Rav Shimon? Tanin tamar mar sense oras v'shvius div Rav Shimon, avalo machaschen uvechenu omer ha'achin." So here we say Rav Shimon allows you to do this during shvius, and Rav Shimon says you can't be maris as oras v'shvius, right? You can't stir the rice during shvius. So
he says machaschen, lo machaschen.
I'm sorry about that. That was wrong. You're right. You can stir the rice during Shvius, but you can't do makasfen, which is also a sort of pruning of the rice plants. So again, you're removing things from the rice plants in order for that they grow better. But the Rosh Hashanah says you can't do that on Shvius. What's the difference? So Gemara says, Shani hu hachashu kematzil min hadleika. No, this is different because apparently, for whatever reason, rice indicates some sort of contribution to the growth of the plant, whereas in the case of the notel esa ala mina elon, that's actually contributing. That's not contributing. It's just kimatza madleka. Just a few more points. So one point is as follows: the Rambam apparently suggests. So this sounds a lot like zimor, right? Like pruning. Pruning is the oraisa. Pruning is the type is explicit in the Torah. So that would go against our rule. So most Rishonim, however, say that Zimor is only relegated to Krumim, to vineyards or vines. And therefore, it's not Deoraisa unless it's a vine. If that's the case, then this makes sense potentially, because he's talking about an Eshkol. Assuming that the Eshkol is not, you know, the vine itself. I guess
isn't an Eshkol grapes though?
Yeah, but I guess it's a good question. It's a good question. I think maybe, you know, there's a difference between the vine of the grape and the cluster, actual cluster of grapes. I imagine that's the case. But the Rambam thinks it is Deoraisa. So that is a bit problematic. However, I think the Rambam translates this differently, unless I'm getting confused for something else. I don't know. I didn't argue that point. Anyway, Ayin Shomer, that's a general rule the Rambam has. He thinks pruning is generally usher, so he'll have to learn Mishnah differently. Just one more point I want to miss before, and I guess we'll end soon. So we talked about plowing in the Makshos and Maglos, right? That you can do that to Rosh Hashanah. That's actually controversial, because if you remember in the first Perek, we suggested that's not always so. You can't plow even in Kishuv and Diluim, which are mentioned in the, right? If you remember when we're talking about what types of plants are included in the count of 10 trees, where Shimon was the one that said you could have a tree, 10 Kishum and Diluim plants. And Tanakhama argued and said you can't have 10, you have to have a row of other plants. But you needed 10. So then why is our Mishnah saying that you can just plow on Makshos Malos to Rosh Hashanah? That's a contradiction. So three resolutions. Number one, you could say there's a difference between plowing the entire Beit Sa'ah versus just plowing around the tree itself. And this Mishnah refers to plowing around the tree itself or the plant itself and not the entire Beit Sa'ah. You could suggest our Mishnah is talking about a case where you have the requisite 10, and that's the point. Alternatively, the Chazon Ish, again, Lishtaso, distinguishes between when there are fruit already, when the plants already have grown, and before they have grown. Before they've grown, you have to have 10. Once they've grown already, you don't need 10. Okay, so that's the Chazon Ish in that regard. Okay, so now we just get to this last part. Try to do it quickly because it's getting late. So we have this sort of mess with the end of the Mishnah, pretty frankly. Okay, so Masaka Rosh Hashanah Tami. All right, so first, so Tamantin, you know, Masaka Sadeo no Tasayonos. We say later on that during Shvias, so this is a problem because, okay, let's just ask the question and say why it's a bit troubling, the question. So the Mishnah later on says on Shvias itself, when you do remove the stones from your field, you take only the upper stones, but you leave the ones that are touching the ground. But here in our Mishnah, doesn't differentiate between whether they're touching the ground or whether they're not. It just says you can do it until Rosh Hashanah. So what's going on? So are you going to come betalish come mechaber? No. When we say you can do all of them, it means that they're not connected to the ground. They're not like dug into the dirt. Then you can pick up all of them, but and that's the Nogos Baritz thing, right? When we said you can't, that means that they're like dug into the ground itself, and that looks like planting. The problem with this is that why can't you just answer that there's a difference between Shvias and Tosefes Shvias? They're not really talking about the same thing. So Pei Moshe says, Alpha God the Kam Shvias Atamar Alchav Shashishkin on Rishuahu de Prech the Pligi Aziruda Upisula. Pisula Humanitaris Afishvias. So as we're gonna get to it, Pnei Moshe thinks this is Machlo only a question of Yoshua. Rishua thinks, as he interprets it, that you can even do these things in Shvias itself, such that there's no distinction with the last part of this Mishnah between Shvias and Shishis, and that is the question here. Okay, so Amr Yosi, Havina Savin, Meimar Der Shimon Kerav Shua Bakirson, the Inun Train Tanai Misakman Rosh Hashanah, Makarsin Mizardin, Mifas Rosh Hashanah, Krabanan. So, okay, so first Rav Yosi said, we thought to say that Rav Shimon holds like Rav Yoshua when it comes to Kirson, that they both hold that you can do Sikul until Rosh Hashanah, and Kirsum and Zirud and Pisol and Rosh Hashanah, Kerabanan, Rav Shua Omer, Kizeruda, Kibisula, Shachamishesh. Okay, sorry. Let me take a step back. Again, I'm sorry. I was pausing this last part. Okay, sorry. So going back to the Mishnah for a second, the Mishnah says as follows. Okay, Yeshua says the same during Chamishis and Shishis. So the Tanakhama says you get to Rosh Hashanah. Yeshua says the same during Chamishis and Shishis. Rosh Shimon says Kozman Shani Rasha Bevedas Ilon Avodas Ilon Ani Rasha Bepisulo. So, originally the Mishnah said that we thought that there are only two opinions. Rosh Shimon and Yeshua are both Machmir. That the Tanakhama thinks everything's still Rosh Hashanah. And Rav Shimon and Rav Shua think that you only get until what the Pnei Moshe says, Yimos Hachama. Because apparently the minhag was that you would only do, you would only do Zirin and Pisol until Yimos Hachama, until the beginning of the summertime. So they both hold that you have a earlier restriction, and the Tanakhama is makel. But then we say, have a klasa tanina. But really, there are three opinions. Misaklan Rosh Hashanah, Mekarsin and Mezardim, Fasan Rosh Hashanah, Karabanan. Okay, that's Karabanan, that you get to Rosh Hashanah. Rishu Omer, Kizei Ruda, Upisua Shal Chamishis, Bechein Shal Shishis, Afilu Yotzer Mikain. So that means that you could even do these types of things on Shvius itself. And Rosh Shimon says, Kozman Shani Rasha Bavros Yin Rasha Adam Pisul Adat Seres. Rosh Shimon is the most machmir that you get until Adat Seres. Which means that Rosh Shua, for some reason, allows these things even until Shvius. I'm going to be honest, I don't fully grasp the thrust of this last part of the Gemara, why that would be. But that's the maskana here, that the most stringent opinion is Rosh Shimon, who says you get until Adat Seres. The Rabbanan say you get until Shvius, and Rishua is even matir after Shvius. That's how the Pnei Moshe interprets this.
Okay, sorry, a bit of a confusing Yishalim, but we'll hold you. That's the same as
going back to your previous point about the Rambam on the Ala and the Eshkol, he explained that that's what Peruk is. That Rabbi Shimon is specifically addressing, because the Mishnah says you're allowed to do Peruk until Rosh Hashanah. And then Rabbi Shimon says, "No, you can do it until you can only do it until Atzeret." Meaning that the notling at the aling mina eshkol is specifically what peruk is, and therefore it's not zimor and it's not deoraita.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Zimor, like what's the difference between zimor? It's different. It's peruk. It's not zimor.
I was thinking about it. Maybe it's the tools you use. I don't know. No tell at the Alice sounds like he's doing it with his hands, and Zimor might be with some sort of tool.
That could be.
I don't know.
Hard to know. All right, I guess ask your local Orthodox farmer.
Rav Chaim.
Let's figure this out. What's the difference between Zimor and Pira? They're all just taking the thing off the tree or plant to get better. Yeah. It's all... Mitzor and Tzira, but they're all the same. However, I guess you do it a little bit differently. I think that's the point. You must do it a little bit differently, and that already, and therefore it's different. I don't know. Okay.